You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle and you're losing the fight.
I'm Ken Logan and the doctor's in. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico. And I started this show a few months ago, one Thursday, the third Thursday of each month, to discuss health and medical issues that may affect you as an individual or the community as a whole. I would like to have your input as a listener if there is a medical or health subject that you would like me to cover on the show. And I think probably the best way to contact me is through my email address. It's klogan.md@yahoo.com. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the KZFR members, and by Butte County Economic Development Corporation, creating awareness and opportunities for the local businesses to build a sustainable and innovative community. More information can be found at butte-edc.com and by the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, and Jewell Rhodes, specializing in civil litigation with an emphasis in personal injury litigation. Serving the community since 1986, the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, and Jewell Rhodes is located at 414 Salem Street in downtown Chico, and their phone number is 342-3593. Today, on the Doctor's Inn, we're fortunate enough to have in the studio with us Dr. Mark Lundberg. He's the Chief Medical Officer for the Public Health Department here in Butte County, or I say the Medical Director of Public Health here in Butte County. And he's going to share with us information about us, we the citizens of Butte County, as it relates to our health. We're very fortunate to have him here. Hello, Dr. Lundberg.
Dr. Logan, it's great to be here. I'm really proud to be invited and look forward to the conversation.
Excellent. Before you tell us how we are, would you please tell us a little bit about you and what you do? Who are you?
Well, now there is a very deep question, and that, I probably should focus a little bit on how I got into medicine and how I got into the job I'm in. I grew up in this area. I like to say that the most important degree I got was a degree from Biggs High School.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was growing up, my father was a farmer, and he farmed with his brothers, and they decided they were going to get into brown rice. Mm. You know, when I was young, people really didn't understand brown rice. They thought maybe it was a different variety, maybe it was different. And we spent a lot of our time growing up trying to tell people what was the benefits of brown rice over white rice. So that's where I like to say I got my start in public health, is promoting brown rice when I was growing up.
What a great idea. What a great point.
And we've come a long ways. People really, now you find brown rice in many stores and many restaurants, and it's a choice you have. And I think they were rather successful getting that message out there, and people are looking to healthier foods. When I went to get my training, I got a medical degree. I did do a family practice residency. I went became board certified in family practice. I returned to Butte County, started practicing in the practice, the same practice that Dr. Logan was in for many years in Oroville. Then it was, I think, called the Northern Sacramento Rural Health Clinic or Project, I think it was called. So when I started my practice, I was fortunate to read many of the charts that Dr. Logan left behind and the excellent work he did with patients. And kind of, Dr. Logan, you kind of were my hero there for a while. There, you know, you set a really great standard there in that clinic.
For crying out loud!
So then I actually did that for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. The clinic that I worked in now in this community is called Ampla Health.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there was a lot of good public health that was done in Ampla Health, and while I was there, I got to know the public health department here in Butte County. They were in need of some help at one point. They called me up and said, could you just give us a hand? We're in between health officers. Could you give us a hand? And I said, sure, I'd love to do that, and I haven't left. So that was back in about 1996, 1995, and I've been working at the health department ever since. I really have enjoyed the work and really enjoy our county and really enjoy our region and the communities here in Butte County.
What a great thing to hear. You know, I think it's great that the public health, the chief medical officer at a public health department has the family practice broad background that you just spoke about. That's great. And then to hear you say that you love your job and love the cities and county, you know, who wouldn't think that's a great thing? Good.
Yeah, I like to say that the public health that I'm in is I sort of do the family practice of public health because public health can be very specialized. Just like medicine can be very specialized, and family docs have to learn to do see different various patients, different kind of disease. In Butte County, we're a one-physician health department. In some parts of the state, there are multiple doctors, and they specialize in public in certain areas of public health. Where one part of why I really like my job is there's just a lot of really great professionals in our department, and they're doing such interesting things, and I get the opportunity to join with them and work with them, and it's really exciting.
We're lucky to have you. At some point, either on today's show or in the future, I would like to have you share with the listeners kind of the layout of the public health department now in Butte County. Maybe not today's show, it's totally up to you, but maybe in a future show.
That would be great. It would be great. And you know, Did I tell you that I'm in a foul mood today?
How so?
Did I not tell you? I feel bird-like tonight because this week my last child flew the coop. I brought them to college, and now I'm an empty nester.
So I think I'm in
a foul mood today. You know, I'm empty nester, and my last child flew the coop.
Wow.
So I'm sort of in a different phase of my life even here today.
I thought you were going to go into one of the viruses that uses birds as a
We could source. Do that too someday.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to us, Dr. Lundberg. What you got to tell us?
Well, you know, when I was in family practice and when you were in family practice, we made measurements of people's health. And I'm sure your listeners have gone in and had measurements of their health made. Those measurements might include your weight, blood pressure, cholesterol level. There's all kinds of important blood tests are done to measure one's health, individual health. I like to tell people that in my work, my patient is the public.
Hmm.
And that patient also has measurements of their health. Is that patient, the public, are they healthy? Are they unhealthy? What's going on with their health? What interventions need to be made in that patient's health. So in public health, we have different measurements. We don't take a cholesterol level of our patient like an individual doctor would, but there are a lot of other important measurements, and I wondered if we could just go over some of those. That's part of our job, part of my job, as part of the health department's job, is to make those measurements of the public. What is the health of our public?
So, I think it'd be useful for us to know that.
Probably one thing I would say to start off when we start talking about the health of Butte County is I love living in Butte County, and I think we have a very healthful environment. But I will say that if we get into the numbers, it's a little disappointing because we do not have the numbers that I think reflect the the sort of the health of our environment. I enjoy living here. I think we have a great county, great cities. But Butte County does not have health indicators that I wish that they had. We have health indicators that would show that we've got some problems. It tells us, to me, there's health indicators that tell me that people are suffering with their health at a higher degree than I wish they were. And in other parts of California, we're suffering more with some diseases, and that means that individual people that are suffering more in Butte County.
Right.
I don't have a good answer to all of why that is. As we get in some of these numbers, I'm hoping that your listeners, and maybe you, Dr. Logan, you have a few theories that might come to mind that help explain some of these numbers.
So your plan right now is to discuss some of those numbers, comparing Butte County with the overall state and certain medical health indicators and disease processes, and we can discuss them as you go.
So, for example, one of the things we do in the health department is an area of our health department called vital statistics. Vital statistics handle two important functions. That's death certificates and birth certificates. So we ensure that a death certificate is filed properly. You really think of what a critical piece of document that is. Think about the amount of wealth, and think about the amount of just social transfer that happens at a death. We make sure that death is properly recorded. Then, of course, the data that's on a death certificate then is looked at and recorded, so we can start keeping track of what are people dying from in Butte County. Those death certificates are sad for me. Every one of them may just be numbers, but I appreciate that there are tears involved with every one of those death certificates, and there's a family that was in crisis. I would say that birth certificates are a little more fun to get involved with, but for example, if you look at our death data in Butte County, you look at the people, what are people dying from, and what and when you look at the rates of what people are dying from in Butte County, and you compare them to other counties, in California, there are about 58 counties. So if you look at what all causes of people dying in their ages and look at what they're dying from, we just don't rank that well in Butte County. Of the 58, let me go down a few of them. For example, I'm sure your listeners have heard of prostate cancer. If you look at the rate of prostate cancer and the death of prostate cancer, we rank 51st. So that means that that there are 51 better places in California, counties, that people die of prostate cancer at less rate than Butte County. We have chronic lower respiratory disease. That'd be like COPD or emphysema. People in Butte County, we're ranked at 52nd.
And let me just pop in here for a second. And when you talk about a rate, tell us what that means.
So what happens is when there's a death due to prostate cancer or emphysema, we create a rate, which would be the, for example, in with prostate cancer, there were an average about 30 deaths due to prostate cancer in Butte County, and there are 3 years that we looked at it. 20
death rate, is that correct?
So that's the number of deaths. So then we go over there and we take that number of deaths and we make a rate out of it. We do it divided by 100,000. So that makes
100,000. We divide it by 100,000 to get the rate. So that's the number of deaths to get a figure. That's the number of deaths per 100,000 citizens in the county.
And in the county, our particular county, there are about 220,000 people. Then there's also then a way you take that rate and you can compare counties. And this is important. There's a number we call it the age-adjusted death rate. You can't just take our death rate to prostate cancer and compare it to another county without making this adjustment. Because say a county, I don't know this to be true, but say L.A. County has much younger people. If you took their average age, they've got a lot more younger families. They have a lot more maybe immigrants that are moved in. They're much more younger population. Well, you expect, just based on younger population alone, that they would have lower rates of prostate cancer than Butte County, where maybe people are retiring here, they're coming here. So there is a way to take our counties and compare them so it's not just apples to apples, not apples to oranges. So there is a way to make the adjustment so we can look at the rates and we can compare them. So,
and that's called age-adjusted.
That's right. There's an age-adjusted death rate. So when you do that and you look at age-adjusted, then that's where they rank us from in our counties. Now, you think about a death rate. A death rate, if you were going to make an intervention in these rates, you think about where you'd have to make some interventions. You could start at the very beginning. Is there something going on in Butte County that causes people to have, we're using the example of prostate cancer, is there something about our environment, something about our water, something about our air, something about the food, something about the housing, something about hazardous materials, something about Butte County that causes the rate of prostate cancer to be higher? That could be one place you could have your theory. Another theory is maybe people are not getting screened for prostate cancer as well as in other counties. Maybe we don't have as many primary care physicians. Maybe we don't have as many clinics. Maybe people don't have access to health care. And so they're not getting screened. So they're not getting prostate cancer identified earlier than maybe other counties are getting them identified. Maybe that could be a contributing cause. Maybe another reason why we have a high rate of that particular cancer is that treatment options are different than other counties. Maybe we don't have the oncology services, the cancer centers, the... That could be maybe part of your theories. It could be part of a person's theory. It could be maybe it's to do with the persons themselves. Maybe people are choosing in Butte County to not get interventions. They don't want interventions. They're not afraid of cancer. They're not afraid of dying. They want to use alternative methods. Maybe so. There may be personal choices that are happening in Butte County that are different than other counties. And then just the treatment. We did go over the treatment. So there's a lot of places that you could try to come up with theories of why our death rates are different. But these are some of the things that need to be unraveled a little bit as to why are we?
So when we see these death rates or we hear these death rates in comparison to the state and other counties, it's not an easy answer to determine why our death rates are higher or lower on certain diseases that we talk about today.
That's exactly right.
It can be quite complicated, but it's, as you said, it's a place to start for especially we physicians and we the public to think about potential reasons.
Yeah, and I think this does need to, it would be great to try to start unraveling this. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, I put this data out a lot of medical communities and allied health groups, because I want people to ask the questions and try to think about it, because it's not just an easy answer on some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So now one that I have been focusing some recently on is one which is right up there, one of our most concerning number, and that's the number of drug-induced deaths. These are accidental deaths that happen, and when the cause of death is finally determined, it's due to a drug-induced death. And most of the time in Butte County, those accidental deaths are due to opiates. And so there have been quite an effort in Butte County to look at what's going on with opiate use and why in Butte County is this drug-induced deaths. We're ranked 55 out of 58 counties. Our death rates put Butte County citizens, so I'm asking the question, why in Butte County? What is it about us? What is it about our medical community? What is it about the streets of Chico and Oroville and Gridley and Paradise? What is it about the drug culture in our community and the use of drugs that make us have a 55th worst drug-induced deaths? Why? What?
55 out of 58 counties.
That's right. Why are we?
And so, tell us what an opiate is.
So an opiate could be these are medicines, these are drugs that have a mind altering effect on the body. It's common ones would be heroin. That would be doesn't have any medical uses, but there's a lot of opiates that have important medical uses. People have heard of Norco, Vicodin, Oxycontin, morphine. Some of these medicines are dilaudid. These are very important to the happiness and well-being of people when they are suffering with pain. They're incredibly a blessing to mankind when they're used in the proper places, because they do help people that are suffering.
So these are essentially prescription pain medicines. We call them controlled substances. They're pain medicines. They can be used inappropriately, though.
They can. So the most common of these opiates that is found in people's system where they have died is the drug called methadone. So, you know, that's a medicine that's out there used for chronic pain. It should be mostly used for kind of a temporary, but a lot of people get on these medicines for chronic use, and they can be misused, and they can be sold, and people can use them that aren't familiar with using them, and then they can have an adverse reaction. These things can alter your level of consciousness, and when the level of consciousness is altered, maybe a lot of times because you're using other drugs like alcohol or maybe some other sedatives, it can affect your ability to breathe and protect your airways, and people
you
die.
Go to sleep and stop breathing.
That's right. So I would say on this area of drug-induced deaths, there are a lot of community efforts being made to deal with that. A year ago, the Medical Society and the Alliance, which is part of the Medical Society, local medical societies, took on opiate prescription misuse as one of their important causes and brought together quite a large partnership to start asking the questions about where are these opiates coming from, are they being prescribed inappropriately, or how are people getting them. Can we as a medical community be better about the way we prescribe them? So I know that last year, last fall, they brought a speaker in. I think his name was Dave Beardsley. He was a famous runner, and he had a personal story of how he got into abusing opiates and how that really altered his life and how he was able to turn his life around. But I know this coming, this summer, there was a special speaker came in to talk to the medical community about guidelines for opiate prescribing guidelines and how those can be useful in a community. And I think the Medical Society is trying to show some leadership to see if we can't get a better handle on opiate prescriptions.
I know that, just to let the public know or the listeners know that a few years ago, maybe let's say 10 years ago, there was a push in this country for physicians to treat patients with pain more readily. And there was a feeling overall that patients with pain were not being treated. We were not doing enough. And then so that was the push that kind of was pervasive across this country, maybe let's say 10 years ago or so. And then now we see the backlash or the consequence, let's say, the consequence of that, where I think we've gone too far. And so I think this is a subject that is being, I will say as a practicing physician, it is a subject that's being discussed in group practices and other settings to see how we can manage it appropriately.
Yes, I this conference this summer, they were mentioned that very, very fact you just made, that there were pressures put on doctors. We had to take required CME in California to talk about chronic pain. And,
right.
And there are required measures that the hospitals have to do to measure pain and make sure that they're dealing with pain. So that probably was important because pain is a pain. I mean, pain needs to be dealt with. People who are suffering need to be dealt with, but we probably are needing to reevaluate how pain is being dealt with, and are we making the problem worse?
Can I just throw my little two cents in here about any prescription medicine? And if we look across the country, I think what we're bringing up right now is the opiates. We know that in the United States, we have a lot of deaths and other morbidity, or in other words, problems that come up with patients and their prescription medicines not being used correctly or being prescribed inappropriately. And where my brain goes when we say that is the first place my brain goes is we doctors don't spend enough time with each patient. And we often write a prescription and say goodbye, and they're out the door. And the consequence, obviously, is that these medicines can be used inappropriately. And that would include pain medicine. So my two cents here is encouraging we doctors to spend more time and make sure our patients understand the medications, and each visit they come back, understand their medications and the appropriate use thereof.
That's really important what you said there, and I think that it is way too easy, and too often we hear the prescription is written and it's handed over and that's it.
And you know why that is? Well, the large reason that is, from my perspective, is the dollar. I know I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but I swear the reason, the primary reason that physicians spend not enough time with their patients relative to medication use, prescriptions, and other reasons, is because they can make more money by seeing more patients and per day. And I think it would be ideal if our system allowed for did not encourage we doctors to see more patients than is appropriate. In other words, we would have to change the pay system to accommodate that. Have you and I ever talked about single payer healthcare?
You bet.
Single payer healthcare is
a. Last month, I think you spoke about that some, didn't you?
I'm just to let you know that this type of physician and patient interaction and the monetary root of evil is a factor, one of the factors that will be dealt with in a structure or more structured system such as single payer. I say this because. That's my opinion. So I'll shut up now about.
I think that that's why you're such a great doctor, Dr. Logan, and those are great words there.
Okay, so that was drug induced deaths.
You know, one thing that about opiate addiction, mm-hmm. I think one thing I've learned recently is that there are a lot of people that are caught in a web of addiction. And that's the other thing we've recently realized is there's not maybe enough services for people out there that are really caught in the web of addiction, and they really need to be handled carefully, and we need to provide resources for them and help them in our department.
Absolutely.
One of the things in our department, we have we have two clinics, one in Oroville and Chico, and I've been involved with treating opiate addicts, and I have they've come in and.
Hey, Dr. Lundberg, I want to hear more about that. The public wants to hear more about that. I really do. We're going to take a short music break, and then we'll get back at that. Stay tuned. Thank you. Hello, and you're listening to The Doctor's Inn. I'm Ken Logan. We're talking today with Dr. Mark Lundberg, the Chief Medical Officer of the Public Health Department of Butte County. And when we took our, just before we took our little break, Dr. Lundberg was going to tell us some more about opiate addiction help for patients with opiate addictions.
You know, when people have opiate addiction, they eventually get to a place where originally they were taking opiates for euphoria, but after they use them regularly, they develop this tolerance, and it's they have to go higher and higher doses to get euphoria. So there's a point where usually they just start, just can't go up, keep going up. They can't afford it, but they have this tolerance that's built up. So if they stop opiates, they have a very severe withdrawal syndrome that is painful, probably is unhealthy for them, but it becomes such a barrier to stopping opiates. They end up at one point in their drug life, they continue to use opiates just to feel normal. Not because they're trying to feel high, they just want to feel normal, and they want to avoid withdrawal. And so a lot of patients I've been seeing, boy, they don't get their prescriptions from a doctor. They buy opiates on the street. So there's a lot of people that are, we call it diverting their opiates. They buy opiates from somebody who got a prescription. They buy opiates, and many people I've been seeing are young people. Their parents are of children, mothers, who are caught in this web of addiction, and they're avoiding withdrawal by continuing to use. And they need help. So in Butte County, the help they can get, they can go through behavioral health through the county. There's some drug and alcohol services there, but that's mainly counseling. There is in Chico a methadone clinic, and that's a treatment center where you replace an illegal opiate with a legal one. And
that's not a Butte County service. That's
no, private company.
Yeah.
And then in our department, And there are other private doctors, there's another alternative called Suboxone, and I've really enjoyed helping people, try to help them with their opiate addiction. They come in wanting help, and they're very, very appreciative, and it's been probably one of the most rewarding things I've done in healthcare, is to work with people with opiate addiction.
Now, Suboxone is a prescribed medicine, and you just said this is a Butte County clinic?
It is a Butte County clinic. It's purpose. There are private providers that do Suboxone. Uh-huh. It's outpatient. You don't have to go every day. Methadone requires you go every day. It's outpatient where you don't have to have that requirement.
Uh-huh.
Our clinic is really designed to try to provide help for a safety net for poor Medi-Cal folks. So that's the target population that we have in our clinic. But there are other options out there for people that are opiate addicted.
Now, Suboxone is, tell us briefly about Suboxone. It's prescribed medicine.
It's prescribed. It is an opiate. It's not an opiate that is that good of an opiate. It doesn't stimulate kind of the receptors in people's brain. Doesn't really give them euphoria, but it does work to make people feel normal. It deals with their withdrawal. They are not adversely affected by any really side effects. They're able to do their parenting, able to do their work, and it gives them a chance to focus without, I mean, when you're unaddicted, all you think about is, where am I going to find my next pill? Where am I going to find my next fix? And that is the driving force of your life. The Suboxone or methadone gives people a chance to sort of start focusing some energy and time on, what do I got to do to change me? Because there's something I need to change about me to kind of get ready to live a sober life, and gives them a chance to focus some energy on those counseling and those interventions.
And Suboxone is a pill?
It's interesting. It is a pill, but it more often is prescribed as a film. It's a film, and it's absorbed in your mouth. So you put it in your mouth, and it dissolves in your mouth. It's absorbed through your mouth.
Once a day?
It can be once a day. Usually it's once a day.
Uh-huh. So. And then can the patient go through a taper off of that?
They have to do a taper after that. After that. I will say, one of my disappointments with helping people is it has been more difficult to get them off of Suboxone than I wished. Now, while they're on Suboxone, they're not injecting, so they're definitely healthier.
Mm-hmm.
They're not buying drugs that are illegal and they could be arrested for that, or they're not having to hustle up money, stealing from people, while they're on Suboxone because it's a legal prescription and
their life
and insurance
is
pay for it. And
their life is more stable.
More stable, that's right. And the risk, and they're definitely the risk reductions are in is health reductions have occurred because of being on Suboxone.
And are there just so I can hear, are there counselors associated with this in that particular clinic? I know you talked about the Butte County Public Health Department or Behavioral Health Drug and Alcohol Counseling also, but relative to the Suboxone clinic, are there counselors there, or how do you
really
manage that?
You have to have people in counseling. You're right. In our case, our program requires them to be in counseling. They can arrange some of their own counseling. We have people that are in counseling services through Ampla Health, for example.
Uh-huh.
Through Behavior Health is the most common because they have a program. They're supporting us, so that's the most common.
Great.
But if they get some kind of counseling, it's required because, again, the Suboxone gives them space and time to focus their energy on what they need to change and improve in their life. So that may be one little piece of the puzzle to kind of get unravel this drug-induced death, we hope.
I should just say, so the listeners will know, that Suboxone happens to be a prescription that it is not a prescription that just any physician can prescribe. There's a special program that a physician goes through to become able and certified to prescribe that particular agent.
That's right. You have to have a special number issued to you by the federal government, the DEA. You have to have a special number that shows you had a special training.
And there's a handful of doctors in Chico that have that.
That's right. And I am working hard to try to convince more because, it is the most rewarding thing I have done in medicine. These people come. You don't convince them. They come in saying, doctor, would you help me? I am ready to make a change in my life. Now, that is the kind of patient is very fun to try to help.
Well, I think expanding that, as you said, you trying to encourage other physicians to become able to prescribe that medication and do that is another step towards helping that drug-induced deaths issues that you spoke of a minute ago.
So maybe if we looked at some other evidence as health, I think one thing we can never neglect to include in our evaluation of health, and that is poverty levels. That probably is very significant contributor to the health indicators in Butte County. You can see that in this view of health, we must always consider that, and we are ranked 43rd in persons under 18 in poverty. So
43rd out of 58.
So you know why is that such a significant impact in people's life? Well, there's a lot to that, too, and I know that you understand that, and you probably could explain it better, but with people who are poor, they may have poor housing, they may have poor access to food, they usually are more caught in certain addictions when they're poor. They're not making as many choices, maybe because they can't afford good choices of being in a health club or getting services, less access to care, but poor people have greater challenges with our health. And so Butte County, that probably is part of the contribution of our poor health indicators, is we have a lot of poor folks in Butte County.
I will tell you, Dr. Lundberg, that when we do finally have single payer health care in this country, every human being will have the same access to health care, regardless of their income. So hopefully that could stabilize some of the medical conditions that are happening in various populations because of current income differences in healthcare availability currently in this country.
Now, a lot of what we've been looking at is health data that comes out every year by the state health department, and people can go online, go to the state health department, and get the profile. It's called Butte County's Health Status Profile. Another one that I like to look at is a county health rankings that comes out of, interestingly, from the University of Wisconsin does it, but every health jurisdiction they look at across the country. And I think the other thing that'll show up on that one that I think we really have to dissect in Butte County is adult smoking. Do you know that in Butte County, in this particular, the one I'm looking at right now, that's the most current one, 19% of adults smoke, compared to California, 13%. So why is it that in Butte County, we should have more people smoking than compared to California. We have a it's a little bit hard for me to understand why that is. And interestingly, we have sort of tried to dissect that away a little bit, and we can look at some data by poverty level. If you look at poor folks in Butte County, and you look at, say, you take the poverty level, 100% of the federal poverty level, some of the data we've looked at show that 45% of those under the federal poverty level, 45% is the smoking prevalence in those that are the most poor in our community. But the thing that strikes me is that in California, if you do the same thing with the California data, look at poor people that are under the 100% poverty level, in California as a whole, the smoking rate is about 17%. What is it about the poor in Butte County that make them more apt to smoke than the poor in California?
Wow.
Because, you know, we know that almost every health indicator is impacted by smoking. I mean, the cancer rates, heart disease rates, stroke, emphysema, all these things are impacted by smoking rates, overall death rates. What is it about Butte County that make us more likely to smoke? Is it one thing we've looked at in the department is looked at availability of tobacco through retailers. And there are some places in Butte County where there is a lot of promotion of tobacco. And I must say that I really got to tip my hat to Orville, City of Orville. They put together an ordinance recently to try to limit the amount of license. Well, a number of retailers that sell tobacco, mainly tobacco. You know how there's these stores out there that are tobacco stores. In Orville, they passed an ordinance recently, one of the few in California, that will require a licensing of those facilities. You have to pay a license, and they're going to limit the number of those licenses that can be issued in the City of Orville. I think that's probably justified because as we look at some of the numbers of tobacco retailers, Orville's got significant number of retailers that sell tobacco. And I think that's part of the problem is just a lot of availability, promotion, a lot of businesses that are profiting from selling tobacco. But I do think we're going to be continuing to look at that. When you look at tobacco control, one of the things that impacts the use a lot is how much it costs. Dr. Logan, do you know which state taxes tobacco the highest?
North Carolina.
Oh, that's a bad guess. Well, you'd think that California, we're a progressive state, we would be right up there because we know that if you tax tobacco, the use is going to go down. Every time you tax it, the use goes down. You know, the California, we rank about 33rd out of all the states in tobacco taxation. It's really kind of surprising. You know, we pride ourselves in being a very progressive state, but that is not, we're not progressive in tobacco control or tobacco tax. In California, each pack has about 87 cents, where you have New York, each pack is taxed at $4.35.
You're kidding me.
So that's a significant increased cost. And that really does drive utilization down. I'm a big fan of tax. I would love to see more taxes on tobacco. Even if you just took the money and buried it in a hole, it would drive tobacco smoking rates down. So it is in California. There is capacity for more taxation on tobacco, and I would certainly be in support of that. We don't need to be 33rd in that one. We could be a little higher in our...
And where to go with that, as far as how to see something like that happen, there's a whole other discussion, too, and why are we so low relative to other states in taxation of cigarettes? We, of course, first place my brain goes is the influence of the cigarette companies on legislators, but...
You know, one of the big thing I wanted to mention about folks about our department, you know, across the country, there are, you know, every state has county health departments. We are a county health department. We're kind of a medium-sized department. Across the country, there are thousands of state and local health departments. And recently, there's been a big push across the country to get accreditation of health departments. You know, right now, we are supervised. We are, you know, the county determines whether we are doing our job, and they they're really, you know, the county administration and the county supervisors are great partners in health, but they're not health professionals. This accreditation movement across the country is to try to justify, to show that you are doing your job as a health department. And right now we are in the middle of gathering together what we need to gather to show that we're doing the job we should be doing as health department. It's called accreditation. You've heard that term, I think, in other areas where, you know, you have schools that are accredited, or you have certain hospitals might be getting accreditation, but you have accreditation. And there's a national organization out there that does this accreditation, and they will send inspectors to our department, and they'll look at our department. So we're in the early stages of that, and one of the first things you have to do to earn accreditation is you have to do a very thorough community health needs assessment. And we are right now in the middle we're sort of the beginning of that process. We've really joined forces with the hospitals, clinics, other allied health organizations, and we are doing a needs assessment. We're asking the question, what needs to happen in your community, with your neighborhood, with your hospital, with your clinic? What do you see as needs? And that's what we're doing right now. We're gathering that. We'll plan to do a community health needs, or needs improvement, sort of a plan to what are we going to do to improve the health, and what's that plan. But we have to do that first, and then we want to be accredited department. We want to show our community that when you look at our department and you look at what we're doing what we should be doing as a department. And we have a fairly new director, Kathy Revsky. She's really come in and really helped set that new course for our department to get accredited. And I think there's some exciting things that are happening right now because of this effort to become accredited as a department.
Now, people from the public health department going to be speaking to individual citizens, to hospitals, to clinics, doctors, other healthcare providers? How
people can expect that we're going to try to find a way to get them to respond to a questionnaire or to a website or
still developing.
A survey. Yeah, those things are still being developed. This is going to be the needs assessment that we're doing is going to take probably another year.
Yeah,
but we want to be intentional, and we want to be rational about deciding what is important to our health, and we can't do everything. Where's the big most bang for our buck, and where should we focus our energy? And that's what we're in the process of doing, and I'm really excited about it.
I am too, for what you're saying. Accreditation process or not, I think it's a great idea. Excellent.
So that's where that'll be a big thing. People probably will come in contact with it as we move forward.
Excellent. A couple other factors on this list. Just a quick thing: breastfeeding initiation. I just wanted to tell us. Looks like in our county we do pretty good compared to the state.
We could certainly do better, couldn't we? I mean, we are ranked 41st.
Oh, is that right?
Looks like, but that's better than a lot of things. But we could do better. It says here that about 90% of births get breastfeeding initiated and started. We know that that's the best nutrition. You know, breast milk was made to perfectly match what babies need. We should be working as hard as we can to make that successful. It is so natural, but there are, if your community wants to see that be successful, it does take support, does take professionals who understand how breastfeeding can fail or it can be challenging and help have solutions for mothers and their babies. We have a lot of folks that are really trying to make that happen at all the birthing hospitals. I think this number will be improved in years ahead.
Good. And then I'm looking at word, tuberculosis incidents. How do we sit on that in Butte County? Are we okay?
TB, that's a bacterium. It's a very old disease. There's evidence of tuberculosis, you know, they go way back. People had tuberculosis, didn't know what it was. They had funny different names for it over the years. You remember they had special places where they'd send them to recover. Sanitariums is a funny name for a place to go. Tuberculosis, we are considered a low morbidity county. It means we don't have a lot of tuberculosis. Just today, though, we started a case of tuberculosis. We normally have about 3 cases every year. The scary thing is that tuberculosis can come in different forms. One of those is called a multi-drug resistant form, meaning that it's really resistant to most of the antibiotics. We have, just in the last year, had a very resistant organism in a family and in a couple of patients. So tuberculosis is a very tough disease to treat. It's a tough disease to manage. It's fairly easy to treat, but to manage it, we put people in isolation. We try to provide services for them when they're in isolation. It's one of the few times that I actually write an order of isolation where we give it to a patient and their family, and we instruct them on how to prevent the spread to their community, to their friends, to their family. But it's one of the regular challenging cases that we deal with in the department is tuberculosis.
Can I put you on the spot, Dr. Lundberg?
No!
I would.
Okay, sure you can.
I would, I hear you talk about the information that your public health department will be putting together relative to that accreditation, et cetera, and I am thinking ahead that there are there's information that I think I would like, and I think you would like to share with the public again on this show. Would you join me on this show in the near future again?
I would love it. You have a great staff here. You know, Ray and Monica and the rest of them here, they do a great job, and that would be an honor to come back and get a chance to discuss topics again there. Dr. Logan, if that would work out, that'd work out for me.
Hey, we got a couple minutes here. I know there's some other medical conditions that I'd like to talk to you about on the maybe on the next time you're on the show. However, can you give me a nutshell of what the mechanism is, the mechanics of the public health department in this county?
We are a department of the county. We have a number of places where people can get access to our services. In Orville, we have an area clinic. We have a clinic. We have a lot of services in our departments. Animal control. We have environmental health. We have a lot of nursing services. A lot of your folks might have come in contact with animal control. There's disaster preparedness. We just have a lot of services we'd like to continue to work to deliver to the public. We also here in Chico have a number of places people can come. Over on Oleander, we have an office. People can always come in there and get brochures.
And Dr. Lundberg, on our next time together, I'm going to ask you more questions about some of that. Let's take a brief music break, and then in a couple minutes, a minute or so, we're going to have you talk to us about our public health alert for today.
Awesome.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you. A pretty face don't make no pretty heart. I learned that, but it's from the start. You think
Yeah, live in the studio, Dr. Mark Lundberg, Chief Medical Officer at, the only medical officer, the Medical Director of Public Health Department in Butte County. A health alert. What can you tell us today, Dr. Lundberg?
Well, we today were just discussing something we're very concerned about the department, and that is we are seeing an incredible spike in gonorrhea rates in Butte County. And we're normally at about 58 cases per year of gonorrhea. Gonorrhea is a bacterial infection, sexually transmitted infection. This year, we're probably going to end up with a 300% increase over that rate. We'll probably, normal rates are about, like I said, a yearly rate is 58 cases. We're probably going to end this year, if we continue on our current path, of nearly 250 cases. And, of course, you know, it's not too complicated how people acquire gonorrhea. It's sexually transmitted, but why now? And what's going on in the community? What has changed about the risk choices of partners, the number of partners, protection people are using? So that we're working on how we're going to craft messages to the public right now, and we're going to craft message to the medical community. We think the medical community is doing a fantastic job of treating gonorrhea. They're doing the right thing in treating. It's a little bit difficult to treat, but they're doing, all the cases that are coming through, they are being treated properly. But what's going on with gonorrhea in Butte County is,
you know, a quick thought. I think health education, sexually transmitted disease education in schools, high schools and junior highs. I think we got to remind ourselves of that. I think the treatment of HIV here in the last year or two has kind of backed us all down, I think, on our discussion with young people about health risks, sexually transmitted disease. Condoms, wise sexual activity. We need to reinvigorate our discussions with our youth.
We got to get that information out there. We got to get that there's risk out there. These infections can have lifelong effects on people, and we need to prevent them. And so we're going to have to. Now, I will say that this is not just a Butte County phenomenon. This is a regional and statewide problem. There are factors going on right now where this infection is on the rise, and.
Say, Butte County Public Health Department contact information. Do you have a phone number?
If people want information, Orville, a good number would be 538-7581 would be a good number to start with.
Say that number again.
It's 538-7581.
All right.
Would it be a good place to start? We have a lot of services. We can be redirected there. In Chico, 891-2731 would be a good place to start as well, and they can redirect you. What about a web page? You have one there handy?
ButteCounty.net.
/public health.
That's pretty easy.
ButteCounty.net/public health.
We try to keep some current information there, try to keep current notifications there, and we will, you can send us an email through that. That would be, that'd be great too.
Thank you, Dr. Lundberg, Medical Officer, Public Health Department, Butte County. Thank you so much. And you and I will be together on this show in the near future. We the listeners and me, appreciate it. I'd like to also thank the engineer for this show, Ray Lager, and invite you to tune in next month again, the third Thursday of this month, 6 to 7 o'clock, for The Doctor's Inn. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR members and by Laura Denny of Modern Convergent Therapies. Laura has dedicated her life to assisting with healing through therapy plans designed specifically for her clients. With over 20 years of training and experience, she can skillfully engage your body's self-correcting mechanisms using a number of treatments, including the Bowen technique. Why chase pain when you can erase pain? For more information or an appointment, visit modernconvergenttherapies.com or call Laura at 809-1445. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Stay tuned for Story Garden. See you in the third Thursday of next month.